Who lived there?
Oh, different people lived there. Mrs. Dorsey at one time, I remember. Different people. Because Norman lived there at one time himself. It was rented, you see, to different people.
And his mother-in-law, Miss Lula, lived there for many years.
Yes, he was living there when he died, you see.
Where was John Wesley Cochran's brickyard?
Uncle Hal owned the place. I could drive you right down to it. Did you go down there across the bridge? You know, the first bridge you come to, going up towards Six Mile.
Mm-hmm.
They always spoke of them as the Brickyard Ponds. Mm-hmm. Ponds there. And I'd go down there with my cousins, and the boys would throw their dog in the Brickyard Pond just to see him swim out, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And the Brickyard Ponds were down there.
You also said, I believe, that he helped, you thought, to build Textile Hall.
Oh, yes. Building for the Textile Hall and this store building, the dwelling and the store. The store and the dwelling is attached to it.
Do you know of anything else that he built in the area?
No. Oh, well, he built the home where they live, you see. He made the brick and built that. And that is a nice home today. You've seen it, I'm sure.
Yes, it's very attractive.
Uh-huh.
So in Calhoun, just a few steps away from your house, was the Morgan and later the Boggs store.
Yes.
And the Smith store.
Smith store was really here. There's this one on this side and Morgan's on that side, you see.
What was the difference between those two stores?
Well, I think they both sold general. Mr. Smith's store was a grocery store, though, and the other one was general mercantile. Do you reckon do it that way?
What's the difference between...
General Mercantile, they sell everything. They sell cloth and all those things. And even sold a Victrola.
Mm-hmm.
And things like that. Suitcases, you see. You might need a suitcase to get away. Things like that.
It must have been the bigger of the two stores.
Well, it was. Mr. Smith went down with the years, you know. It went down with the years, so finally he had to close it up.
For a while, he had the post office in the store.
Yes. Miss Anna Gaines was, we call her postmaster, I think. It's the job, and that's whether male or female.
Where else do you remember the post office being?
Well, Mrs. Chapman had it. And you know that store had a long part, and then it had another part that wasn't but one story, built in connection with it. It was in two parts, you know that?
Mm-hmm.
And Mrs. Chapman had the post office in there. And then Mrs. Chapman had it. She thought they might let her keep it on, since she was able to do so. But it was 70 years, and one must retire, so the government said no. And Oscar Burnt took it over, and Oscar Burnt was from New York. He was quite a nice gentleman. And Oscar died suddenly. Do you ever know about him?
No, I don't.
Uh-huh. Oscar was quite a nice gentleman. And he worked on Wall Street. He was smart. But he came down here, and he didn't have anything to do. You see, his wife owned that house up there. And so I guess after he wasn't working anymore in Washington, work was, you know, Washington, New York, rather. New York has its hard times, it seems, as any other large city. And Oscar wasn't working, so they came down here, I suppose, to save rent, because she owned this house.
And you're talking about the house next door to you.
Next door to me, uh-huh. That's one of the oldest houses in town, but it has two or three roofs on it, and two or three sides. It's enough to make it warm and cool, whatever it might be. I think it's air-conditioned now.
Do you know who first lived there?
Well, the first person I remember living there was Mrs. Chapman. I remember that she said, I always wanted a drink of water. Isn't that a strange thing to remember that a child saying that way?
And that's the same Mrs. Chapman who later had the post office.
Yes, Mrs. Chapman, later in the post office.
Were there
and she worked here until she was 70.
Were there any others?
She was a young woman, you see, I guess when she lived up there, and I wanted a drink of water.
Were there any other stores in Calhoun?
At that time?
Mm-hmm.
There have been other stores. Morgan built a store right across the street here. I think it's still a place to live over there now. Anyway, Cousin Norman didn't like the back door being his door. So he came and helped turn that building around. I don't know whether it's still over there, and I don't remember.
I think it's gone now.
I think it's gone. Yeah, it has gone. It was the Willis's home. And he turned it around so the back of it wouldn't be in his front door.
So that was
the
store?
The Willis people who lived there.
That was a store at one time?
Yes. That was a store that Morgan built. But he didn't get enough business to keep it going, so he let it go and he made a residence out of it.
Did Morgan develop that store after he and Boggs separated the older store?
Yes. He developed that store after that. Well, I think Mother gave him good advice just to divide the goods, and that Morgan had plenty of goods, but he took the goods over to Seneca, and he was out there in the country and he didn't sell, so he came back. But he didn't pay enough to keep it here. And I guess a lot of people charged things, and a lot of people wouldn't pay the debts then because I kept books. A lot of them who lived very high, appeared to live very high, I'd say appeared.
So you're saying it wasn't just people on limited incomes that didn't pay their bills, but even well-to-do
people? Oh, a lot of people, yes. I remember I shouldn't call the lady's name and I won't, her husband died, and they owed about $90. And someone came along setting a bill that sent a nice, polite note to people, you know, setting this book, so Mr. Boggs bought one, and I sent one to this lady, and it insulted her highly to get this notice about their account. But her husband had been a teacher, and you would have thought that she would have been able, with insurance and all, to pay. And I remember that little book.
What other stores were there in Calhoun?
Beg pardon, any others?
Yes.
No, I don't know of any others, except a long time ago when my father owned one down there and the corner store. And the Masons used to have their business upstairs at that brick building down there, Cousin Norman's. It is an upstairs too.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just a great big place up there, and they would have their banquets up there. And I know we were always glad when they had a banquet, because they would always send us a tray, and they had so many nice things, you know, at this banquet for the Masons.
Well, I understand there used to be dances over there also.
Oh, yes, because you see, that was a large place, and different gatherings were there.
It must have been a very important community center.
It was, and I think as a whole, the people attended their own affairs. If you were sick or something, they would send you lunch or do something, and it was kind of a community that was neighborly.
Mm-hmm.
Neighborly.
Who of your neighbors do you remember particularly from when you were a girl?
My neighbors?
Yes.
I remember Miss Chapman, one who told me I drank a lot of water. I remember Mrs. Chapman, and of course Mrs. Smith, who runs a hotel up there.
Mm-hmm.
She had a boarding house there, and she didn't have room, and she had this upstairs over the store. There were four big rooms and a large hall. She had that rented.
Over the Smith store.
Oh, yes, over Smith's store. And I know when poor Mr. Smith said when they would scrub the floor, he'd come up and beg him not to use the water. They were spitting it on his goods. One thing waked into another.
Do you remember a hotel being on that location before Mrs. Smith's?
No. I tell you what was on there before, Dr. Hines' home.
Dr. Hines, I thought, was directly across the street from you.
Yes. Well, what place are you speaking
of? Where Mrs. Smith's house was.
Oh, yes, that Jackson's lived there. and the house burned.
So
I don't remember anything after the Jacksons till Miss Smith came. I know I was riding horseback one day, and I didn't even know to pull the reins this way or that way. The colored man didn't want to lead the horse he'd been leading for me, so he just put me on, turned me loose. And the chimneys were burned up there where the house, the Jackson's house, burned. I know the horse led me through the, by the burned chimneys. I was scared, because I didn't even, hadn't been taught to pull this rein or that one, you know. The colored man would lead the horse. I must have been very small for the mother to let me go out with the colored man driving me like that.
Well, the new house, Mrs. Smith's, was built when you were 10 years old, so...
So Mrs. Smith has added on so much to it since she built it. At first it was a 4 square rooms, and then she added on that back, you know.
And so there was a period of time when the old house had just burned, where the Jacksons had it, left some chimneys
standing.
Enough
for the horse to take me around with the chimneys, I know.
There are two huge magnolia trees there now.
Yes, they must have been there where the old house burned. I'm sure they were, because they've always been there since I can remember.
Who else do you remember of your neighbors?
Well, the Mrs. Smith's neighbors and the, I don't remember the Dr. Hines people living there. And this Mrs. Chapman up here. And Norman Boggs himself used to live over in the next house up here. That middle house was built later than that time. And sometimes people would rent that old, where the store was, and they had it turned around. Mm-hmm. The Willis people lived there. And
the Vandivers lived nearby.
The Vandivers lived up there, and the house Uncle John built, mother's brother. That was an old home, and he built it up to make a nice home out of it, two-story home. And the Vandivers lived there.
Mrs. Prince was nearby.
Mrs. Prince was a large room like this with a fireplace, and then she had a hall and two more rooms. And then one of her grandsons decided to live there once, and he took the back porch in and made a little breakfast room out from the main room and a little kitchen back there. So it made it a convenient place. And the location's ideal, you see. It's kind of in the central part of the little town, Miss Prince's house.
When you were a young girl and you went across the railroad tracks, you said the underpass wasn't there then, so you would cross over the tracks.
Uh-huh.
And how would you get to Clemson College?
Well, there was a road over the railroad. You mm-hmm. see, they make roads over the railroad. Don't you know how to fill them in with stone? They're brick and soil, and cross over. We cross over the bridge. Now, where the station is now, we crossed almost just a little bit below our house. That brick corner house, just a little below it, was a brick building. That's the way we crossed over.
And what was the route between here and Clemson College?
Well, the Clemson route, at that time, there was an old house here in the corner. So the road came like this and came over the old house and then went around the hill, all around the hill. And the street built a walkway, boards, and they built it over the little bridge. It was rather artistic, this little bridge over there. And you see, they had a culvert there. I used to like to wade and get under the culvert there. Not many things I didn't try out, you know, for a little girl. So that was the way it was. The road was entirely different. It was much farther. You know where the Presbyterian Church is?
Yes.
Well, it goes by the Presbyterian Church now, but it used to go real close to the Presbyterian Church.
Was there anything between the depot here and the Presbyterian Church?
Well, it was an old house.
Just that one house?
That old house. And different people lived that way. The house had a room that way and one this way. So they had rooms there and they had rooms over here. You've seen a house built like that, haven't you?
Yeah, sort of in a V shape.
Uh-huh. So that's where that old house was.
were...
And, you know, it was almost a shame to tear it down because it must have been a very old house. Should have been preserved.
Were any of the streets in Calhoun or Clemson paved back then?
No, no. No, they weren't paved at all. But they did have a mayor of the town, and he'd come throw the dirt from the gully up on the street and try to smooth the street over, and that helped it out a bit, you know. And especially before tax paying time, you get people to pay their taxes on time. Taxes always been something people worried about. I didn't worry about enough, I don't know which.
What is your fondest memory of growing up in Calhoun?
Well, I guess it was my swing there from the storehouse, and there was a scaffold or something built to hold up the other side, and I had a very, very long swing, you know, it was high. It would go a long way, and if someone ran under me, you know, a man could run under me, it would go high. I liked that swing. I remember that very pleasantly. And we had mimosa trees, and I liked climbing the trees, you know. And at our old home, it had a front porch, and they had a cedar post or something pulled up, had honeysuckle vines all the way around the porch.
Must have been very pretty with the honeysuckle
and
the mimosa.
It made it cool, and it was especially the rack made for the honeysuckle vines to run on.
Was that with the old wood house?
Yeah, it was a wood house, yes. I always liked it better than the other, but this man came along, and mother let him have the contract, so it made a very good home.
Do you know who had the contract and who built your house?
Jones, I think. Jones.
From where?
It's a contract. Central. Mm-hmm. He built one out in Central, Wesleyan College, and mother went up to see it, and I was with her. I think I drove the car up there. Anyway, I went with her to see it.
We were talking about the area between the depot and the Presbyterian Church
being built up.
Almost empty at that time.
Uh-huh.
A lot of it belonged to the Calhoun Land Company.
Uh-huh.
Do you remember anything about it?
Mr. Klingscales was, I think, the president of the land company. I don't know who was with him. Might have been Crowther, because Crowther worked with him at the stable. And Mr. Klingscales was quite a leader with things that came up, you know. They wanted his veto on different things. He'd been here a long time, and I guess he felt like he was an important citizen.
Was it nice being a young girl, a young lady, and being only a mile from a college of hundreds of male cadets?
Oh, yes, it was quite nice.
Easy to get a date.
Oh, easy to get a date. More dates than you want. I was going to Central School at the time on the train, and I knew a very nice young boy. I don't know whether mother made a rule or what, but I wanted to have a date or something. And I remember I had to refuse him a date on the train, and I hated it because he had friends and all that. But I don't know why I did.
How did you meet the Clemson students?
Oh, we met them in a very friendly way. And I liked the college professors, too, as I grew older. The students were nice. They came and went. Some of them were Pickens County boys. You might have known their parents, and they came around to speak. And one of my friends from Pickens, he was nice as could be, and took me to the ball games and took me to dinner and things like that. And that was my first getting out over there to eat at the YMCA, you know, and things like that. But the Clemson, the woods were just there like they are now. And a sidewalk built along there. It was a nice walkway. We didn't mind walking because we were accustomed to walking.
And the sidewalk, you said, was built of boards.
Uh-huh. And when we got to the Presbyterian Church, it crossed over to this. It was on that side going down, on the lower side, next to going toward the river. And then crossed over, and we crossed over one of the... That was built on the boards. That other was built on the boards, too. with the kneading board.
There was a sidewalk on only one side of the street.
Uh-huh. You cross from one side to the other to get there. But you see, the Presbyterian church has always run all the way down to the corner, as far as I know. I used to go to the Christmas trees, I remember. I remember the Christmas trees, children. I think they're good for children. They really like them.
Were there a lot of parties for the Clemson fellows and their dates?
No, there were not a lot of parties, Mom. They usually had dates. Different girls would go with them. Salome, this cousin of mine, she went to the college boys, and we had friends come to our home, Gracia, and I wouldn't want to go in. I remember one night I stuck some pins in the college boy's hat, and I felt so bad about it later, but when he came out, he looked at it to see whose cap it was, so he wouldn't get the wrong cap, and he found them. I'm sorry. He was a Pickens County boy. Paul Hester, as it happens. Paul Hester, Pickens County.
Well, there was once a William Hester here. Would that have been his father?
William Hester? I wouldn't have known that. Paul Hester was the oldest one. You see, he was here when I was about 14 or something. So, William Hester, yeah, Paul Hester. William Paul, I guess he was. I guess he was his father. I heard my mother say that Paul Hester's father borrowed money from my grandfather to build their home. They had a very pretty country home.
Where was that?
It was between Pickens and Liberty. The Hester home.
Well, they seem to have had the house up here that you were referring to, the Jacksons.
Uh-huh.
The same newspaper talks about Hester putting up a 13-room house there on the corner of Calhoun and Clemson Streets. So
uh-huh.
He must have built it originally.
He must have built it originally, and Miss Smith must have added on to it.
Well, although you said the house had burned in the meantime.
Yeah, it did burn. Because, you see, those magnolia trees were there. So that's the Hester, I guess, planted them. But I didn't ever know it was a Hester.
You talked earlier and said that you had worked at both the Morgan and Boggs store.
Yes.
And also you worked for a while at the drugstore, Martin Drugstore.
Martin Drugstore.
For the
column. Yes, with the books.
Yes. Well, you also worked, I think, in Washington, D.C., didn't you?
I worked in Washington, D.C. 20 years. I loved Washington.
How did you get from Calhoun all the way up to Washington?
It was just an accident, a pure, unadulterated accident. I was going to Greenville one day and was going with some friends, and they stopped and they didn't see me, so they decided I'd given up the idea, and they went on. So I had a car at that time. I had a Buick. And I got in my car, and I went to Greenville. And I had taken a civil service examination for the post office, I believe. And I went in to ask. I knew the civil service man, so I went in there to talk to the overseer and ask if my rating had come in. And it hadn't. So that's how I got started on the road to Greenville now. So I went on to Greenville, and from there I got started on the way to Washington. I don't remember now what came up. Oh yes, I do remember now. When I went over there and asked about an examination, the lady said, "Well, I have every desk taken, but you can go over to Drawn's Business College, and if they have a desk, you can take it over there." Well, I went over there, and every desk was taken. So I came back and told her. I said, I might have told you this before. I said, all the desks were taken, so I couldn't take the exam. And she said, "You just wait here until I get through with this class, and I'll give you the exam personally." She was from Washington. And you see, that was in 44. They needed stenographers. So I waited, and someone else came in, and they wanted to take it. So we, too, took the examination then. And I passed it, but I didn't make a high mark, but I passed. So I didn't pass the steno part, because, you know, they give it so fast, and that was my first examination. And, you know, when I went to Washington, even though I had passed the steno exam later, I never did bother with it. My supervisor, grade 11, like to write his letters in longhand and have me copy them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have to do whatever the supervisor says. My supervisor was a bachelor, and a most attractive young man came to me once. I was practicing typewriting in this great office in Washington. I was practicing typewriting, and he said, "Oh, I see you take you're writing in shorthand." I said, "Yes, it's Greg shorthand." And he said, I don't know whether he had said that day or came back one day, and said, "I have an interesting place I want to send you." And he sent me up there to this grade 11's job to be his stenographer. And he was a bachelor. And that's why the man said he had an interesting place to send me. See, I wasn't so old in 44. Was to send me up to this place. But you know, the bachelor was everything I didn't like. I was tall and thin, and I thought he wore the same old socks every day, and he was just everything I didn't like. At first he was real nice. He would send out the bartender and serve it and all. But finally, I think he got the feeling I didn't like him. And so that ended that.
What agency did you work for?
Oh, what agency? I was with the engineers at first. Oh, yes, I was with the engineers, and the engineers were a very interesting group, and we had the nicest engineering building. It was built for the engineers, and the State Department later took it over. That was in Washington. State Department wanted it. It was such a nice building, and moved the engineers out to one of those prefab buildings out at the edge of Washington.
Well, if you went to Washington in 44, you must have missed an important event in Calhoun when President Roosevelt's funeral train came through.
Well, I saw the funeral train I didn't miss it. I was here when that train. But I went in 44. But I'll tell you, I went, I believe it was 3 or 4 days after that train. I might have taken the examination 3 or 4 days before the train was to go after that. You see, they paid my way to Washington the first time I went. But I was there, I saw the train go through, Roosevelt's train, because he died, in Georgia.
Yes.
What place is that known as?
Warm Springs.
What?
Warm
I thought
Springs.
It was Cold Springs, because we talked about Cold Springs, and that was Warm Springs. Thank you for telling me. I remember that was Warm Springs. He went down there for his health sleep.
Are there any other memories of Calhoun or of the people from here you would like to tell us?
I tell you, everybody came over to see that train. You know, they turned the boys loose, and they were all over here to see the Roosevelt train pass through. And you know, he died so suddenly, Mr. Roosevelt. And now, then later, a rumor went that he had some lady friend that came up about the time he died or something. Did you ever hear that?
Yes.
Yes, yeah, so I guess it was a rumor.
Well, I thank you very much for your time and all of your memories
of the
town.
Thank you so much, and I appreciate your listening. And I'm glad to bring all those things back in my mind, because they were all interesting things. And that was a very interesting time. And then, an exciting time with the war going on. It was very exciting.
Nope.
And, oh, it was very nice. And you can tell your mother that I enjoyed knowing her son so very much, and you remind me something of her.
Well, thank you very much, Ms.
Payne.